Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 187. We're coming at you as we complete our fantasy positional reviews for the 2024 season. Relief pitchers, top 30 ADP-wise, and then some breakouts, as always. So fun stuff there. Before we get to that, you can find me on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast, at Bubba Bloom Pod, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how are we doing, my friend?
We're great. We are in Atlanta, Georgia. By the time everyone hears from this this episode,
you yes, are I am in Georgia.
I am on vacation. I have in an exercise of time travel. I am in sunny Atlanta. The Patreon has grown to 300 patrons by now. Things are really good for me.
That's good. That's great to hear. And speaking of the Patreon, folks, patreon.com/BubbaBloom. Come support the boys. We already got some content out there. You get all of Ryan's boards and other sheets he's been creating, like the MILB board and other things. And you get all my written content. We'll have some secret shows and other fun stuff along the way. So come check that out. Get you in the Discord, get you in some other cool stuff. But patreon.com/BubbaBloom.
We'll also put this, since this show is not being streamed on YouTube, we're recording this, midday on Wednesday? Mm-hmm. Such a weird week, because Monday was a holiday, and it's my last day of the week. We'll put this reliever board up, and probably either on the Patreon post or Discord or something. But just stuff like that. We'll kind of throw you all some bones, and yeah, appreciate everyone's support who has joined already. It's been a ton of fun, and yeah, we don't really have 300 by now, but we're close, right?
Oh, real close, real close. We're getting there, inching closer day by day, turtle by turtle. And the other thing I'll mention is we have an email. If you are not on any social media platform and want to get a hold of us with questions, concerns, comments, whatever, BubbaBloomPod@gmail.com. So come check that out as well.
We probably should have made that quite a bit earlier, as people were the social media thing is just kind of crazy. We were talking before, like the people are moving into Blue Sky. We just launched this Discord, and it's like both of us are trying to, as we get older and become old, it's like, what's all this extra social media? But despite all that, we are adding and adding and adding. So we'll see how it works out. But I don't know. Discord's top priority for me. I know that.
Yeah, Discord is pretty fun stuff already. Looking forward to the more, the merrier, the bigger the party, all that kind of good stuff. So it'll be fun. And it's going to keep growing, I think, as the off season gets closer and drafts start picking up and more fun to go. And just a little nugget, if you're in the Discord, you're going to get some information in a couple of days about something fun we're going to be doing on the show here sometime next week. So just keep that in mind. If you're listening to things, that'll drop in the Discord first, and you'll have the first chance to help us out and have some fun. So think about that. All right, relief pitchers. We're doing it here. 30 relief pitchers, breakouts. Every year, Ryan, it's a fun discussion. Do we take guys early? Do we wait? Do you take one early, take one late? How do you approach it? No matter how it ends, there's always breakouts, a ton of them. Well, it seems like at least a good handful of them when it comes to relievers. But this year, more so than previous years, it felt like you still had at least a kind of path to success if you went somewhat early here.
Yeah, this was coming off of 2023, which was one of the more like stable years that I can remember for closers, that plus just the state of MLB with fractured bullpens and things like that, like closers continued to be very expensive in 2024. I think from like a macro level, yes, there was a lot more movement, especially in this. There were kind of two waves of closer movement. There was the rash of like if you drafted early. Remember there was that rash of like closer injuries in, I want to say like mid-March. There was Paul Sewald, there was Romano. Before that, there was Devin Williams. So there was some chaos there before the season even started. And then there was, I want to say maybe halfway through the year, maybe All-Star break or closer to the trade deadline, there was that other kind of wave that produced like a Ryan Walker, a Lucas Erceg, Justin Martinez in Arizona. So there was kind of those two separate waves of closer movement. Depending on when you drafted, you could argue that closer was pretty volatile this year. If you drafted late, which is what we have on the ADP board here, this is main event ADP. So this was late March. This was after like those injuries that I was talking about. It was actually, I would say, quite stable. Looking at the board here, of the top 15 relief pitchers that were drafted, all but one had 20 plus saves. And that was Evan Phillips was the only one who did not. And he had 18 saves. So if you spent early and drafted late and you avoided those kind of spring training injury guys, closer was pretty stable at the top. There were definitely a few busts, but you, in general, you got saves if you went early, kind of no matter where you went.
Yeah, you got saves. There might have been some ratio issues, which yes. you hope you don't yes. get, but you got saves. And I remember last year on our previews, we said something along the lines of, out of the top 20 relievers, we kind of want to be done with our two closers. And if you look at this chart, about the first 24 relievers, you have all but three got you 20 plus saves, or four got you 20 plus, kind of like you're talking about. So
yeah,
if you went with that game plan, as you mentioned, you're getting plenty of save actions and going from there. I will mention before we start talking players, we're going to talk to Player Rater, of course. One thing we remember when it comes to the Fangraphs Player Rater and when it comes to pitching rankings here from relievers, they factor in wins and stuff, it seems like, a little bit more than saves. Just keep that in mind when you're looking at the situations
here. Yeah, and when we get to the breakouts, I did a little differently this time. Instead of going by like the Player Rater rank, because they had like Ryan Walker was like the number two reliever.
He was a beast. He was awesome. Like, why wouldn't you want? Like, yeah. That's a breakout I've ever seen one.
Despite being a San Francisco Giant. So yeah, we're kind of just going by total number of saves. So that's a good point. I think the last thing I'll add, if you waited on, and you kind of mentioned this, Bubba, if you waited on closer and waited till those last few like full-time guys, you had a Carlos Estevez, Mason Miller, and Kyle Finnegan at ADPs like 167 to 200. There was, yeah, that absolute cliff after that. But you could have, again, hindsight, always 2020, you could have waited outside the top 100, gone like a Robert Suarez and then Mason Miller, or Kyle Finnegan. There was value to be had in those kind of middle rounds. If you really waited on closer after Finnegan, it kind of fell apart.
Yeah, yeah. And as usual, like you mentioned earlier, you could find some on the wire. It didn't seem to be as often, but it seemed like maybe not as often, but the ones you found early got you plenty of saves. So it was kind of one of those yin and yang things. We're paying for it this year, might have paid off more so than previous years as well.
Yep.
All right, let's get cracking at it. First reliever off the board, ADP of 35. So in a 15-team draft main event in the third round was the first closer off the board. Edwin Diaz jumped back up top, 3.52 ERA, 1.04 whip, 20 saves. Remember, spent some time on the IL, spent some time getting things right because he was off for a while there. He started the year pretty strong, finished it rather good. There's a grouping in the middle there where things were not Edwin Diaz-like.
Yeah, and you paid top dollar for Edwin Diaz. It was at 35 ADP, so you were hoping for an Emmanuel Class A type of season, and that did not come. I remember, I think both of us were kind of on this. It was just crazy to me. Edwin Diaz was the top closer off the board despite not having pitched at all for an entire season. I know it wasn't an arm injury, it was a knee, but like that's a lot of faith to put in someone who you have not seen pitch outside of some spring training and rehab starts as the first closer off the board. So I think we were both pretty much completely off Edwin Diaz. That said, like, the skills are fine. We still had like a 40% strikeout rate. This was all homer to fly ball. I talk about homer to fly ball a lot with pitchers and how much your ERA can rise or fall based on that homer to fly ball rate. It was 16% for Edwin Diaz last year, so super elevated. League average is 12%. The 2 years before that, it was 9% and 5%. So that probably settles somewhere in the middle. That's also why you kind of see a really good whip for Edwin Diaz, and a marginal ERA. It was just the home run ball got him. And you know, that happens with closers and sample sizes. A few more long balls than usual can really kind of screw up your ratios. So not what you wanted out of Edwin Diaz, but I also don't think this was like a disaster or anything like that.
No, not a disaster, but definitely not what you wanted. You want to talk home run to fly ball, let's talk Josh Hader. ADP of 44, the second reliever off the board, finished eighth at the position thanks to 34 saves, but a 3.8 ERA and a 0.96 whip. That tells you a lot of runs were scored via one swing of the bat. If you look at the whip department, strikeouts are still good with Josh Hader. And it's really weird, or funny, whatever way you want to look at it. he's got like an every other year pattern going right now. It's very, very interesting. Not just ERAs, but you look at, you know, K to walks, you look at barrel rates, you look at just go through the ledger of things that tell you success and not success from a closer. Josh Hader has that going right now. So what's your thoughts when you saw this with Hader? Because in theory, this next year should be a great year for Josh Hader.
Yeah, if you go by the even odd year thing, and that's I mean, I could almost, I guess you don't copy paste when you're talking on a podcast, but you also say the same thing about Hader as what I just talked about with Diaz, the homer to fly ball. It was the home run rate with Hader. So it was 16% this year, the year before 6%, the year before that 15%, way high, the year before that down to 7%. So it's just this up and down and up and down. But again, that's why you see the difference between Hader's really honestly elite whip, elite strikeout rate. Just had that inflated ERA because of the home runs. There was also like, and I don't, you know, to build on the theme of things that I say that are maybe partially true, without looking at the numbers from our last episode, Hader seemed to be in these, he would pitch in like non-save situations and just get destroyed. Like that was kind of a thing that I at least remember happening a few times in 2024. I don't know that, you know, doesn't really mean anything for next year, but those are the most frustrating ones when your closer pitches in a non-save situation, gets blown up, and then obviously is not available the next day. Like that's fantasy death.
That happened a lot to a lot of guys. Like that's like a, anytime you see your closer come in as a non-save, I'm with you. It's just like, nope, nothing good's coming from this. So we'll see where it goes. Now a pitcher where, in the regular season, what could go right all went right. In the postseason, things got a bit shaky for the number one closer in baseball, ADP of 54, third off the board, Emmanuel Clase, 0.61 ERA, 0.66 whip, 47 saves, and it's over 74 innings. So that'll play when it comes to the ratio department. And, you know, K rate jumped back up after a low 2023. Walk rate dropped back down after a bad walk rate for his standards in 2023. So we saw elite Emmanuel Clase again in the regular season. I'm not going to try to hold the postseason against him, but definitely not ideal, but a great regular season for Emmanuel Clase.
I believe gave up more earned runs in the postseason than he did the entire regular season. So that was my question back to you, because there's not really much to say about Emmanuel Clase, right? Like this is the season you dream about. This was almost like having, and I had Clase in a few leagues where down the stretch I was good in saves, and I would only start Clase as my only closer, and he was like having two closers just because of how often he pitched and how many saves he racked up. But yeah, does that postseason factor in for you at all with Clase? Because it is a bigger chunk of the pie than it is for a hitter or a starting pitcher.
Like those two or three outings could blow up your entire season basically as a closer. I'm going to say no, just because I think he's that elite, and we're going to go back to track record here, and maybe some time off will do some good, but it wasn't great to see. I'll tell you that much. That was not ideal. So I'm going to say no though.
Agreed. I'm with you. Number one closer next year. He just gets used. The other thing too, he gets used. So you mentioned the 74 innings. Like, I believe he had a stretch of four saves in a row in August or September. Like, he was always available, which, again, maybe to his detriment later on in the season. But for fantasy, it was pretty nice.
Yeah, well, and a lot of those postseason deals were not just three innings varieties. Like, he was used in eighth innings and all kinds of stuff to stretch out his save situations. All right, the fourth closer off the board, ADP of 56, two picks after Clase, finished 80th this season, Camilo Duvall, 4.88 ERA, 1.58 whip, 23 saves. Season started out great for Camilo, then it unraveled, then he ticked off Bob Melvin and went to the minor leagues, came back, still was up and down as like the seventh and eighth inning guy, had moments of good, moments of not good. I actually saw a tweet earlier this week that he's in the Dominican Winter League continuing to struggle right now. Hmm. I remember seeing Duvall in the minors, and it was a command issue with him then. It was like the kid's got lights out stuff if he can locate it. That's been the same theory throughout his time in the bigs. There's rumors that Duvall might get traded, but that's for 2025. When it comes to 2024, it was a disastrous ending to what seemed to be a good start to the season with Camilo Duvall.
Yes, you covered it quite well. The saves were there really through July. I mean, all but three of his saves were through July, and then yeah, it just unraveled. I did not see this one coming at all. I mean, and again, closer can be extremely volatile. Sometimes this happens. There will be plenty of debate and talk about Duvall versus Walker for 2025. I don't know if you have an inside edge on that one, but a pretty much a disaster season for Duvall. However, he still did get you 23 saves. Yeah. Like there, that, and again in 4 months, like that's not
you got to drop him if you did it right.
You were able to drop him, and like the ratios, yes, the ratios were awful. Bad ratios for a reliever doesn't hurt as much because there's just not as many innings of them. So it's, yes, it was bad, but you at least you still got like 20 saves in 4 months.
Yeah, I've always felt like they want Duvall to get back into the role because Walker was so great as an opener, as a long, like so many ways Walker could benefit the bullpen. But like whispers sound like they want Walker to keep it. He quote unquote earned it. And watching Duvall continue to struggle, plus rumors of a trade now.
Yeah.
It might be Walker's world, which I'm surprised by. But if Duvall can't pitch, well, it is what it is at that point.
And hell, maybe they are both closers next year, right?
Duvall. Yeah, that's why. And I was going to say, I took him in our meatball draft late, Duvall. And I wouldn't hate it if you're in a draft and hold format. Like, he might not start the year as a closer, but it could be like an Aroldis Chapman with Pittsburgh thing. He might still get you 15 saves by the end of the season, which in a draft and hold format, that's glorious because he doesn't cost much at all right now. So, all right. The fifth reliever off the board, ADP of 61, finished sixth at the position. Raisel Iglesias, just pretty much automatic. 1.95 ERA, 0.74 whip, 34 saves. Iglesias, 69 innings pitched, which was very nice as well. 68 strikeouts. Like, dude gets older and older, but just continues to be one of the most reliable closers in all of baseball.
Yeah, and I don't think it's enough credit for being so damn good over the last. So one, two, three, four. This is Raisel Iglesias' fifth year in a row with an ERA under three, with basically full-time saves outside of 2022. Like this is an extremely stable dude, and you don't see that often from relievers. He also had, I think, a five-run run outing in September against the Dodgers. Despite that blow up, still had a 1.95 ERA. I know it counts. You can't take away that one outing, but like, God, this could have been a sub one ERA for Raisel Iglesias. He was nails all season.
Yep, he was great. Andrés Muñoz, sixth off the board, ADP at 64. So we're seeing them all kind of clumped together here, folks. There's a bunch of them going in this range.
Yep.
This was the closer run, as people like to say, basically rounds in like three through five, you saw most of them go. Andrés Muñoz, six off the board, 17th at the end of the year, 2.12 ERA, 0.96 whip, 22 saves. He's better than 17, but again, I think he was the thing with him, he had seven losses, which is not ideal. What always got me with Muñoz, as we had this discussion going into last season, is the Mariners had so many options back there. Muñoz eventually became the go-to guy. But there was a lot of the time, like, he was the preferred option, but not always utilizes the preferred option, if that makes sense, to start the year in Seattle. By the end, he was. By the end, he was locked in as the closer. But when he was closing, he was great. I'm not going to deny that. It was just annoying. I think he should have more than 22 saves, is what I'm trying to say. He's that good and only walked away with 22.
How the hell do you have a 2.12 ERA with seven losses?
Yeah.
How impressive. Is that possible?
Probably uninherited runs. I don't know.
Well, the correct answer is just Mariners.
Probably extra inning games and all that. Because the extra inning games, I don't know. You don't get credited with the runs for your ratios, but I think you get the loss still.
With the Manfred man?
Yeah.
Yeah, you get the loss, but you don't get the earned runs.
So that's just bizarro.
Could have been that. Honestly, man. So yes, Muñoz had 22 saves. Ryan Stanek at seven, though. Was he on Seattle the whole season? Tyler Saucedo at three. Like, really, no one else had saves in the Mariners. Pen Muñoz, I would argue, was the guy. There was just I remember this extremely long stretch where the Mariners as a team did not even have a save opportunity.
Yeah, I remember that too. You're right.
I forget the exact dates and how many, but it was at least over a month where they just had one as a team save opportunity over a month plus. And so like That's extremely fluky. I think Andres Munoz is still the guy in Seattle. Yes, there's a new regime. Scott Service is out now. But I think Munoz stays there. The skills are still fine, despite, again, despite those seven losses. That's crazy. But I think this was a decent pick. You just didn't get the volume of saves that you were hoping for. But ratios were still good, and I think he's a really good pitcher.
Yeah, no, I'm on the Munoz train with you. I know I bet against you last year, but watching the utilization here.
That's right. What was that one? Was that Fairbanks?
Fairbanks, yeah. Who actually had more saves, but the ratios cost him.
Yeah. Excuses.
I'm full of them. The next up off the board, the seventh reliever, ADP is 65. Evan Phillips finished 47th, 3.62 ERA, 1.19 whip, 18 saves, turned into a lost job for Evan Phillips. Like, it started out really promising, and then boom, went the dynamite between an injury and just bad production. You saw Daniel Hudson get a lot of saves. Trinan got some saves. Kopech got some saves. It went around the horn in LA. But Phillips was really solid, at least for like the first half of the season.
Yeah, really. Like, it was, I thought this was, I don't know, I thought it was a very quick hook, a very quick hook for Evan Phillips, who was legitimately bad for a small stretch in July. But outside of that, before and after, the guy was nails. We just didn't really notice it after because we didn't care anymore because Phillips did not have the job. But I thought that was, for someone who I think is still a really good pitcher, I thought that was an extremely quick hook by Mr. Roberts, but it is what it is. And it, I mean, it doesn't seem like Phillips is in the running for a role next year. Like, it almost looks like Kopech is running away with that thing.
I think Kopech's the man to have in that situation. That's for darn sure. He was lights out. Like, he was a completely different pitcher when he left Chicago and got to LA. And we'll get to Kopech towards the end of the show here. But yeah, I think it's Kopech's job to lose right now. I'm with you.
Yeah, so underwhelming for Phillips. Like I said at the top, the only pitcher draft, the only closer drafted among the top 15 that did not get 20 saves.
Yep. All right, David Bednar. This one was wild. Eighth off the board, ADP of 74, finished 119th, the third worst finish out of the top 30 pitchers. 5.77 ERA for Bednar, 1.42 WHIP, and 23 saves. This was one of the most reliable pitchers, Ryan, for a long, long time, and it just went completely out the window. Walk rate up to 11%. Lost his job. Chapman took over and was great. I don't know what to do with him in 2025. I think it's going to go back to him for a while, but who knows? He was worse than Duvall.
Yeah, he was, which is kind of hard to imagine. I did not realize it was this bad for David Bednar, who I almost thought was like a ticking time bomb type of guy, just because this, I mean, he's had oblique injuries before, which is what it was this year. He's also had back injuries that, again, that just kind of that core middle part of the body has kind of never been right for David Bednar. And that all came to a head this season. So you hope he stays healthy, because I think a healthy Bednar is,
it's good,
a legit top 10 closer. But A, will he be healthy? And B, will Pittsburgh allow him back in the ninth? Which I could certainly see. He's been one of the more like stable guys the last few seasons outside of the injuries. The results have always been there. I've just always been a little bit skittish because of Bednar's soft tissue back type of thing.
Yeah, and this is one of those guys that for multiple years now you said trade him at the deadline.
Probably. I know, yeah.
And never... that window might have closed.
You might be. Well, if you're a Pittsburgh fan, you have other problems to worry about, but you're kicking yourself probably for. I think he's a hometown guy too. I think that was part of the, which should not factor into the decisions, but part of the factor why Bednar stuck around.
Yep.
Do you remember the Bednar and Rowdy versus like Pittsburgh fans drama?
No.
I don't even know if it was that much of a drama. Like, Bednar was getting booed off the mound during his bad stretch, and they were interviewing Bednar in the locker room about like his struggles or whatever, and Rowdy, your boy, came over. Was like,
I remember standing up for him, and
he's talking to the fans that this is not someone you boo, he's trying his hardest, blah 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 blah. It was fun. It's a review Rowdy. Episode trying to, you know,
Rowdy team player, back, folks, team yes, player.
Well, and was not reciprocated at the end of the
no
year.
No, he got kabooted with what, four plate appearances four before more. His bonus. Yeah. Man, he should have sat in the stands and booed the next game. That would have been awesome, like a blowhorn.
That's when you boo as a fan. Yes. That's when you boo. But
anyway. Yes. And they were probably quiet after his previous comments. All right, the ninth closer off the reliever off the board, ADP at 75, one pick after David Bednar. Alexis Diaz finished 61st in the position, 3.99 ERA, 1.3 whip. I know in previous seasons, whip was a concern when talking about drafting Diaz, and he kept producing good enough type stuff. Kind of caught up with him this year, but still 28 saves. He's still the guy in Cincinnati, if you want to use that term. Like, I don't see him losing that job anytime soon, but like, it was a good season. Didn't crush you, like you said, of some other guys. I think we just expected more. He's kind of reverting back to the guy people were concerned about the last couple of years.
Agreed. I thought Alexis Diaz, the way that he just completely floundered in the second half of 2023, this was, I believe, my biggest fade among closers entering 2024. And certainly, this was better than I thought it would be. Like, it wasn't great for Diaz, but you draft these closers for saves at an ADP of 75, 28 saves, you sign up for that in ratios that really don't hurt you. Like, there's a little bit of a rare steak red there, but again, given the innings totals that these guys don't put up, it's not that big of a deal. So Alexis Diaz fared better than I thought, and was serviceable if you kind of were in this middle of the pack, especially compared to like an Evan Phillips, Bednar, and your boy Fairbanks going around him.
Hey, Fairbanks was the 10th reliever off the board, ADP of 76. Finished 52nd, honestly, was the best of this bunch that you just mentioned. 3.57 ERA, 1.17 whip, 23 saves, missed time on the IL. But if you look back in 2023, 25 saves. He had three more games, 45, same innings pitched. We saw the strikeouts decrease, though, and the ratios went up a bit. That was the big bummer with Fairbanks. So a lot more pitching to contact with Fairbanks, not as dominant. But still got you the saves, didn't crush you in ratios. Like, at ADP of 76, wasn't the end of the world.
Yep, agreed. And yeah, was the guy in Tampa. Did provide one of the all time sound bites of the 2024 season.
He's good at that. Yes,
he's a interesting dude.
Have you? I know I've mentioned this show a lot, and I don't think you listened to it, but the Chris Rose rotation. Fairbanks did an episode on that. It was one of the most eclectic things I have ever heard in my life. It was must listen to. Yeah, just pay attention. Fairbanks, genius, like, mind, but weird as hell, like you said.
Yeah, I kind of got those vibes just from the little pieces that you see in
interviews. He loves Legos, by the way. Big Lego guy.
Not surprised.
No, I know. It fits. It fits. It fits, dude. Big Lego guy, though.
I mean, I kind of am a big Lego guy right now, but that's more so through my children. Yeah.
There's a lot of these players I've noticed that they travel and do Legos together. That's like their
hotel. But they probably build like legitimate.
They like the Millennium Falcon and stuff like that. Yes. They buy these because
pretty cool.
Again, we're going to go rabbit hole for a minute, but like, they showed the Baltimore. It was Gunner and like all the young guys that basically can't party. They went to the Lego store in New York and had like three bags each, and they brought it to the clubhouse and they all did Legos together. Like, that's nice. A thing apparently that didn't cross my mind because Legos cost so much, but it's cheap to them, I guess.
Yeah, I did not realize that. There's one takeaway that I take away from this episode now. It's MLB players and Legos.
There's a lot of it. Miguel Rojas on the Rose rotation, he builds them with his son. That's their little like thing, but they build like actual project ones. Like, you're talking about just playing with Legos. Like, I play with my daughter. Like, let's just dump the bag out and let's play.
Like, I build like a little house and like my kids knocks it over.
These guys, like, that's their bonding moment. Hell, Chris Rose said he built them with his son until he graduated high school. Like, there's apparently a whole Lego world I didn't think existed. But sorry, I'm glad people tuned in for this.
Yeah, no, I'm amused. So that's really all that matters. Yeah. Fairbanks. The things you don't want to read are his most recent RotoWire headline, won't return this season, and then at the end, should be fully healthy in time for spring training. What do we do with that? We have no idea. Welcome to the fun that is drafting in, November.
That's why I passed on him. I was texting you about my situations in my
draft. Did you go Finnegan?
I went Finnegan. Fairbanks was So we're coming back on the turn. So I was like the third pick of the round 12. Finnegan went with the last pick in round 12. So he went about 12 picks later than me.
Gotcha.
So, yeah. All right, the 11th closer off the board did not finish the season as the closer for the New York Yankees. ADP of 82, Clay Holmes. He finished 28th at the position, 3.14 ERA, 1.3 whip, 30 saves on the year. It was kind of a weird one because if you look at the ratios, that's not like disastrous by any means. 30 saves, pretty darn awesome, but just kind of lost his, like, I don't know, closer. He just wasn't dominating, and the Yankees wanted to go a different way, and they had plenty of options. Eventually became Luke Weaver, who was amazing. But Holmes did well, did actually really well, like better than the previous like four or five guys we talked about. But in the end, did not finish as the closer.
Yeah, did not finish as the closer. And if I do recall, I think this was like Ben Tidd pulling his hair out, A, as a Yankees fan, but also as a, I believe, a Holmes owner. Like a lot of these kind of blown saves middle of the season were pretty fluky, like shaky defense and that sort of thing behind Holmes late in the season. So again, I mean, that counts, it happens, but even with that, if you pick Holmes 82, you got your 30 saves, you got decent ratios. Yes, he didn't finish the season as the closer, but usually by the end of the season, there are, if you're still active in Fab and still going for it, it's not the biggest deal in the world if you lose your closer in September. You can kind of patch that as you go, and maybe you don't even need to because that's of where you're at to say it in the standings.
You might not even need saves. So yeah, that's the beauty. One of the biggest studs in the draft, Ryan Helsley, ADP of 85, 12th off the board, finished fifth at the closer's position. Some may say he was the second best closer in all of baseball based on saves. 2.04 ERA, 1.1 whip. He actually led baseball in saves with 49 saves. I stumbled into him in one of my OCs where I kind of just waited on closers. So that was glorious. He was not a target of mine. We very much discussed, was not focused on Helsley, but I needed a closer. He fit the mold. And it's just because, you know, 2023 was kind of a lost year. 2022, 19 saves in 64 innings. I didn't see a path to being this absolute beast that Ryan Helsley became in 2024.
Yep. Excellent, excellent year for Hunter Hurst Helsley, and would just totally destroy the closer market. Yeah, 49 saves is just that's so valuable. I mean, no one else outside of Class A had 40. So you've got a built-in 10 save advantage over the rest of the pool. And hell, I'm sure there were some teams that had Class A and Helsley, which is just
very well could have, yeah.
Probably too many saves at that point, but no, awesome year for Helsley. I think you've already made this point, and I would agree with you that you are certainly buying off a career year. But for just reviewing this, you struck gold with getting 49 saves at 2.04 ERA from the outside the top 80.
Yeah, that's pretty big boy stuff there indeed. Craig Kimbrel, 88th ADP, 13th off the board, finished 54th, did not even finish in Major League Baseball as he was DFA'd by the Baltimore Orioles. 5.33 ERA, 1.36 whip, got you the 23 saves. But Ryan, those last 2 to 3 weeks,
oh,
disastrous if you had shares of Craig Kimbrel.
Yeah, and I did. And it was, I can confirm, it was disastrous. And I wonder, like, so A, this hurts just because we just talked about Helsley, three picks ahead. How much of it, if you really want to be a sucker for punishment, how differently does your final standings look like if you have 26 more saves if you took Helsley instead of Kimbrel? The other kind of thing I'm just thinking about is, like, is this it for Kimbrel? Like, does he sign with another team that gives him a shot? This has been a thing with him where he's fine for the first month or two of the season, then it just totally unravels. Hall of Fame career, but you wonder if this is it in terms of a team that signs him to be their closer. And if a team doesn't sign them to be their closer, does he even want to sign?
That's, we'll see. Yeah, at his age, I think it's kind of one of those I want it all or nothing situations. So I don't think he wants to work his way back into the closer's role. That'll be interesting to see, as you mentioned. Tanner Scott, ADP of 102, 14th off the board, finished 9th. Great season from Scott. Started in Miami where he was very good at closer. Gets traded to San Diego. Great setup man. Picked up a save or two along the way. 1.75 ERA, 1.13 whip, 22 saves. Whip was a major concern with Scott coming into the season, and he kind of put the doubters to rest a bit with his overall production. But actually, whip was pretty good in 2023 as well. But prior to that, was rough. really, really big boy stuff there from Tanner Scott between two clubs. And yeah, if you took the chance late, it worked out.
Yeah, and this is one where, like, so it did come to fruition that Tanner Scott did get traded, like, because that's always a thing when you're talking about closers, like, in draft season. It's like, well, this guy might get traded, and then sometimes it just never happens. Wasn't there someone on the Giants that happened to? I'm trying to think. Like, a couple years ago.
Oh.
I don't think it was the Giants.
Yeah. Okay. They don't trade very well. No, so I wouldn't say them.
But this is one where we hear it all the time is, oh, they might get traded at the deadline. And sometimes it doesn't happen. Bednar is another obvious example of that. And you can keep him for the entire season. I think it was Mark Melanson.
That makes sense. The Giants were supposed to trade for him. And then he went to Arizona or whatever.
Might have been it. I don't know. Either way. Even if it does happen, and again, it's not a guaranteed chance, like, you still got an awesome half season out of Tanner Scott. And again, in that second half, I think it's a little bit easier to fab closers and, you know, depending on what you need. So one of my takeaways with this Tanner Scott season is, like, even if there are concerns for a potential trade at the deadline when you're trying to draft these guys in March, it might not even happen. And even if it does, you could still get enough value out of them to where it was a successful pick. So I'm trying to kind of think of that as not a mark against some of these guys in 2025 that might be candidates at the deadline.
For sure. Johan Duran fell in the draft due to starting the year on the IL. So keep that in mind. Yeah. ADP of 112, 15th reliever off the board, finished 25th. And this was an interesting year. I don't know if it was lingering injuries or we're seeing some decline in production or just a bad season. 3.64 ERA, 1.16 WHIP, 23 saves. We saw the strikeouts drop a bit for Duran because he used to just be one of the nastiest pitchers in all of baseball. The BABIP jumped. That didn't help him at all. But as a whole, good season. Not what you drafted Johan Duran for, though.
Yeah, the ratios were definitely off. I think, like, there was a small drop in K rate, but it was still really good. Still gets over 60% ground balls. So, like, this is, I think, a pretty ironclad skill set for Johan Duran. I still think there's also, as long as he's in Minnesota, I still think there's a ceiling on his saves that's like 30, which, again, isn't the end of the world. He got 23 despite being injured this season. But just know you're probably not going to get one of those mega seasons from Duran, even though the skills are, I think, still just as solid as ever, despite a higher than we would expect ERA.
Most definitely. Let's go to the flip side of the board here. And we'll start with ADP 16. He was 116 off the board, finished the year 86, got hurt, then lost his job. Paul Sewald, 4.31 ERA, 1.13 WHIP, 16 saves. So, was it great? No. Was it horrible? No. But was it what you wanted? Absolutely not. So I'll give the floor to you because you were Mr. Sewald.
I was Mr. Sewald. Lucky me. It was kind of horrible, to be honest, because he missed, I believe, the first month to 6 weeks. Yeah. And so while everyone else has that spot to fab, you're holding on to Paul Sewald and holding up a roster spot in non-IL leagues. And that hurts. And then he does come back, does get you that run of 16 saves, but then loses his job. So that was a pretty rough season for anyone who had Sewald and could not put him on the IL, because I don't think really anybody dropped him. The timeline was too short to drop Sewald, but once he came back, yeah, he was not the same. And it looks like is kind of not in closer consideration as of now.
Free agent
mid-November, yeah. Depending where he signs, so we'll see. But bad season.
Bad. You know, it wasn't bad. Kenley Jansen, old reliable. I've talked about it every preview we've done with him. It's, you know, not the lights out guy he once was, but he's still very serviceable where he goes. ADP of 123, finished 24th at the position. 3.29 ERA, 1.06 WHIP, 27 saves. That gives him 1, 2, 3, 4, not counting 2020, 5, 6, 7, 8. Like 13 straight,
a million.
20, yeah, 20 plus, 20 plus seasons, good ratios. Like, this is a phenomenal reliever two or reliever three, even if you wanted to.
Agreed. I said earlier that Raisel Iglesias might be the most underappreciated closer in fantasy. It might actually be Kenley Jansen.
I think so.
because everyone just thinks he's done because this is not peak Dodger Kenley Jansen. This version of Kenley Jansen is just fine. And kind of what you're alluding to, 27 saves, it's basically the lowest in his career. Before that, 29, 41, then 38 since the COVID season. Like, I don't think you can find someone more stable than Kenley Jansen. I mean, he'll be 38 next year. So, yes, like, is getting old, but and is a free agent. But I mean, he's going to sign somewhere where he's going to be a closer.
You would think the Cubs or the White Sox or somebody.
He will.
But would love to have him. Miami.
And there's really, yes, despite not being the peak Kenley, this is still somebody who is very good and quite effective at what he does. So another great season for Kenley. And again, just super underappreciated for how kind of boringly stable he is.
Yeah, the Hall of Fame talk will be fun when he finally retires, because I think he's one of the best we've seen in a long, long time. Mm-hmm. Robert Suarez, 18th reliever out the board, ADP of 129, finished seventh of the position. Shocked many, I believe. 2.77 ERA, 105 whip, 36 saves. He was outstanding, literally, like, obviously based on the ranking, one of the best closers all season. Was so good, they're already talking about trading him to strike while the iron's hot in San Diego. But phenomenal year, 33 years old. So he's an old guy. He had a hell of a year. It's just hard to believe he can, you know, continue this situation.
I think out of any closer on this list, this is the one I'm kicking myself the most, because in hindsight, Robert Suarez was the guy in San Diego, even though they never in preseason came out and really said that. You could kind of piece it together very quickly that Suarez was going to be the dude, and he was. And people who drafted Suarez at 129, I thought got a pretty massive discount for someone who's good and had the role. I thought, you know, yeah, in hindsight, the price was super cheap. I did not pay it because, I don't know, I just missed it, I guess. But yeah, Suarez absolutely delivered.
Yep, he closed it down for everybody. The 19th reliever off the board, ADP of 144, Jose Alvarado, finished 94th. Started the year kind of in a committee, ended the year not even really pitching much, got hurt. Not the guy in Philly like Hoffman, who we kind of talked about, I think, off the air. And then they went, the Phillies made a trade as well. So they filled up the closing duties for somebody besides Alvarado.
Yeah, and yeah, started the season awesome. Four saves, a 0.9 ERA in April, 2.13 ERA in May, four more saves, three more saves in June. Like, had a sub-3 ERA every month until July, and then he had one save from July on. So it was very front-loaded, Jose Alvarado, which, again, isn't like the end of the world. You got your 12 saves in half a season. That's not awful, but when it's one pick after Robert Suarez and Kenley Jansen, it kind of is awful.
It's very awful when you look at the grand scheme of things. But at the same time, when we move on from here, there's only a couple more guys that really got you. So it was, you kind of were at the end of the road in this one. Like, Jose Leclerc went four picks later at 148, finished 99th of the position. And honestly, that's pretty forgiving, I think. 4.32 ERA, 1.32 whip, one whole save. I was anti-Leclerc from the get-go in Texas, and he didn't last long as one Kirby Yates came along. We'll talk about him later.
Yep. He yielded the breakout of the year. Leclerc yielded the breakout of the year by only getting one save and allowing Kirby Yates to be a beast.
Yes, indeed. The 21st reliever off the board, ADP of 167, finished 18th at the position. Carlos Estevez, 2.45 ERA, 0.91 whip, 26 saves. The fact Carlos Estevez had a whip below one, I think, shocked many people. Many people are anti-Estevez because they didn't think he was good enough to keep the role. Well, he kept it, and he was great. So, and he got traded to Philly, and he actually took over closing duties there more so than Hoffman. Like Hoffman got his, but Estevez became kind of like the 1A to the 1B in that scenario. So it was a really, really good year, all things considered, with Carlos Estevez, who we'll see where he goes this offseason. But it was a nice finish to 2024.
Yeah, and coming off like one of the worst seasons of a 30 save guy in 2023, like the whip was 149 for Carlos Estevez in 2023. And then, like you said, it got down below one this season. Became like a control pitcher. The walk rate dropped from 11 to 5% in 2024. It came at the expense of some strikeouts and some whiffs, but you take it. If you had Carlos Estevez, there was plenty of luck involved. I still don't think Carlos Estevez is all that great. I'm still kind of having visions of the Angels version in my head, and that's not good. But No, I mean, you were rewarded if you went with Estevez. It was kind of one of those like hold your nose picks and just hope he gets the saves and is barely good enough to hang on. And he was more than that.
Very, very good indeed. All right, here's the big dog down the stretch here. ADP of 171, Mason Miller, 22nd off the board, finished 10th at the position. This was a polarizing pick. It's like, is he going to be a starter that doesn't throw a lot of innings? Does he close? It felt like if you were drafting him, you were pretty confident he was going to close. You weren't drafting him to be a starter. And there was like a slew that was like, okay, I'm going to wait till later and get him to start. And then as we're talking ADP for main event, ADP started to come up when rumors started swirling that it's probably going to close. Miller had a 2.49 ERA, 0.88 whip, 28 saves, and more importantly, was the highlight of the beginning to many of Ryan and I's shows as we watched Mason Miller shut the door on live TV before we started episodes of Bubba and the Bloom. Love Mason Miller. I think he's legit. And so far, A's, tough to believe the A's, but they want him to be the closer in 2025. I guess he's their dude, and I respect it. Why try to ruin a good thing personally? But thoughts on Mason Miller?
Oh, yeah. The reason we delayed some shows, yep. Bubba and the Bloom during the season.
It was literally TV, man.
It was Thursday night. We usually record like around 9 Pacific, and the A's game started at 6:40, so kind of end right at 9. We're like ready to record, and we're like, let's just watch this Mason Miller inning together. And it usually came through. I think the other thing with Mason Miller is those 104 strikeouts. Like, to get that many Ks is out of the relief position is pretty damn sweet. This is another one like Robert Suarez I personally was completely out on and did not pick up on the hints, the signals that Mason Miller was the closer. I didn't know if that was going to be a thing. I also didn't know if Mason Miller could make it through a full season, even as a reliever. I still don't know if he can do two in a row, but that's besides the point. Awesome year for Mason Miller. Those Ks are just huge. And then to pile on 28 saves on an Oakland team that was better than we thought. Because that was the other thing. It was like, this Oakland team could be historically bad and may only yield 20 save chances all season. But Mason Miller got 28 by himself.
Yes, Mason Miller was outstanding. And honestly, I'm not going to be alone on this. I think he's a top five closer. I think it's pretty Captain Obvious stuff, but we'll see. It's still the A's, and as good as they were last year, no one would be shocked if they revert back to like 40 wins this year. So
we may have our first ranking debate disagreement episode for the Patreon coming with that Mason Miller claim you just made.
But you are not a Mason Miller fan. Interesting. Very interesting. Okay, that'll be fun. All right, we kind of talked about Ryan Helsley being the you crushed it situation. I almost want to give the award to Kyle Finnegan. If you took Kyle Finnegan in ADP 206, 24th reliever off the board, finished 32nd because he had a 3.68 ERA and a 1.34 whip. But Ryan, Kyle Finnegan had 38 saves in 2024. That's, I'm just top of my head, probably thinking top five. If there's only 240 save guys, like Kyle Finnegan, 38 saves. Many thought he would get traded. Well, similar to Bednar, they thought Finnegan would get traded for a couple years now. That has not happened. And Finnegan just continued to show up, get the job done for the Nationals. Ratio or the like strikeout rates and stuff, not bad. It's just ratio is not ideal. But Ryan, when we're drafting a dude at ADP 200 or whatever it is, you don't expect great ratios. To get 38 saves, you sign up for that all day long.
Yeah, who cares? Who cares? And this is a 38 save season coming off a 28 save season. In 2023, I mean, you can argue Kyle Finnegan has now been an effective closer for two full seasons in a row, has 65 plus games in each of the last four seasons. He's been durable as hell. Skills are not Mason Miller like. They're not even, well, they're maybe Carlos Estevez like, but he gets the job done and he has the job. And it's another one with, like, I think these rumors of, oh, he's going to get traded at the deadline. And maybe the Nationals should have done that, but they didn't. They held on to him, and I think that matters a lot for 2025 as well.
Yeah, that matters a ton indeed. So I'm a fan. Like I said, I just got him as my closer two in round 12 of my first DC, or my, I guess, second DC technically, as you keep reminding me. So we'll see how that ADP continues to fluctuate.
It is your second going. DC.
Yeah.
What the hell?
For some reason, you know, it's not a mock draft, but that one happened so early. It's just like I blank it out of my brain. All right. Hartner Harvey, ADP at 270, was supposed to be the guy that took Kyle Finnegan's job. That did not happen. Gets traded to the Royals, gets hurt, finished the season with one whole save, Ryan. So the Hunter Harvey experience did not go very well.
Yeah, I mean, it's just interesting to see Finnegan and Harvey back-to-back. However, there was a 70-pick difference between the two. So this was a big gap in relievers. And that's kind of what we talked about entering the season. That was like this Estevez, Mason Miller, Finnegan tier, and then a huge drop. Like there was nothing after that. And that, I mean, the market was spot on with that. That 70-pick gap between Finnegan and Harvey, that was for a reason. And so, yeah, Hunter Harvey, the obvious wrong choice for Nationals closer. But you could have even made the case, like I bet people took Finnegan at 200 and Harvey at 270 and just locked that up no matter who wins. Yep. And then cut whoever didn't get it. Like that turned out to be a fine handcuff.
Yeah, because at 270, whatever, you drop most guys no matter what position at that point in time. So yeah, I'm with you on that. Good call. All right, this one's fun because I've been a Griffin Jacks guy in DCs for like 3 years now. Since I've really gone hardcore in this, I just love his ratios, his ability. Like he got 10 saves this past year. He's always good for like 8 to 12. It feels like going to get you wins. Jacks is an elite reliever. He had ADP at 294, finished 12th of the position, 203 ERA, 0.87 WHIP. And Ryan, just before the show, I saw a tweet from a beat reporter from Minnesota. Theme here, Ryan. Theme. The Twins are thinking about moving Jacks back to the rotation like he came through in the minors.
Ooh.
So that could, I wanted to save it for now. That can make Duran a little different feeling, if you know what I mean, because the bullpen in Minnesota for now is not as loaded as it once was to prevent Duran from getting all those saves. Just want to throw that out there. Again, not a preview show, but something to think about. What's your thoughts on Griffin Jacks?
I have not seen that. That is
today.
Mighty interesting.
I got it right here. Mike Farron says, literally just talked about this with Twins bench coach Jace Tingler. Seems like they're leaving open the possibility of Jacks moving to the rotation.
So we may have, along with Jeff Hoffman, our early candidates. He knows
Jeff Hoffman thing. Yes.
Okay. So we may have two candidates for this year's Ronaldo Lopez. Yeah. Griffin two Jacks.
Really good relievers, too.
Yes, exactly. And for in both of their cases, the volume has been there. I mean, so Griffin Jacks, even as a reliever, has 290 innings over the last four seasons. That averages out to, I don't know, something in the 70s. Like that's a lot of innings. So I could see this jumping up to 140 and still being pretty damn effective, a la Garrett Crochet, Ronaldo Lopez, Nick Martinez, the guys we just talked about on our last starting pitcher review. And to your point, maybe that makes Yoan Duran that much more exciting. So that's a good little tidbit.
Yeah, no, I think that'll be very interesting because Eno quote tweeted like, first Jeff Hoffman, what other relievers could we see? And then Mike Farron said, I literally just talked to him about Griffin Jacks. So there's going to be an interesting situation there. But yeah, could make Yoan Duran a beast. And regardless, Jacks will be interesting because a part of this tweet, I guess, was good in a rabbit hole. Frank Stanfill, my buddy from CBS, tweeted out that when Jacks got called up in 2021, it was as a starter. And it didn't work out, but he's been great from the bullpen. So going back to the starter could be interesting. Could be interesting to say the least.
Yeah.
All right. The final five on this list here. We did 35. Am I counting this right? 35. I'm an idiot. No. 35. No. The numbers are wrong here. This will be 26 through 30. Yeah, the counting changed on the ADP ranks. Over here on the right, you must have moved some guys around or something. I don't know. Joel Piamps, 26th off the board, yeah. ADP of 296.
What the hell?
Finished 50. Yeah, 30 officer. Since 56th at the position, 305 ERA, 0.97 WHIP, 6 saves. People thought Piamps would be the dude for Devin Williams. That did not pan out.
Nope. It was Trevor McGill.
Yes, Trevor McGill was a beast. Michael Kopech, 32nd off the board here. This is when the rumor started swirling towards the end of spring that they're going to take him out of the rotation and go to the bullpen. And then everyone's like, well, an arm like that, he should be the closer. Nothing was official at that point in time. But Kopech finished 26th of the position, ADP of 300, 346 ERA, 115 WHIP, 15 saves. And we talked about at the beginning of the show, much, much better with the Doyers.
Yes. And yeah, it was a disaster on the White Sox. Much better with the Dodgers. We'll see what that happens. The thing with Kopech is, I mean, you surely drop it. The Dodger run, people who drafted Kopech, he was long gone by then, unless it was a draft and hold. But yeah, he looked pretty damn good for your squad there.
Yep, not too shabby. James MacArthur was the 28th reliever off the board, ADP of 105. He was my most rostered player in DCs. Finished with 18 saves. That was great, but it blew up. 4.92 ERA, 1.45 WHIP. Was not that bad to start the year, but it started snowballing like Craig Kimbrell-esque, minus the ADP. And eventually MacArthur was hurt and came back in like the seventh inning role.
Yeah, this was one of my bigger L's. I was big time in on General MacArthur, on James MacArthur. I thought the way he ended 2023 with the job, pitching as one of the better relievers in baseball, it just did not translate over, and eventually led to Lucas Irseg doing his thing in Kansas City. But again, still got 18 saves. Like, not terrible, I guess. But once it unraveled for James MacArthur, it unraveled very quickly.
Yep, no doubt about it. Daniel Hudson was a popular target as a potential spec for the Evan Phillips situation. Hudson ended up with 10 saves, ADP of 358, finished 29th of the position. Ended up, you can't avoid it. Ended up finishing.
Instagram, man. Instagram.
finishing 29th of the position and is now retired.
Yeah. I think Daniel Hudson was I think some of this pick too was he got the Korea win, right? In the first game of the season. I think he got a win or save in Korea. And that was
people, you're right. They took advantage of the win, I'm pretty sure. So they took advantage of that really quickly.
Yeah. So that's all I got.
Yep, that's all you need when it comes to Daniel Hudson. And the 30th reliever off the board, Colorado's finest, Justin Lawrence, ADP of 361. It's funny, the first Rockies closer, 361 ADP. People are so anti-Rockies. This was fair, 6.49 ERA, 1.78 WHIP, two whole saves. I will say this much about the Rockies, though. I know we talked about it a lot. I'm not saying you have to be aggressive, but Kinley was good, Vodnik was good, ratios might not have been ideal, but they got plenty of saves. They didn't crush you. They weren't Justin Lawrence ratios. They were at least more like Michael Kopech, maybe a little worse than Kopech, but you know what I'm trying to say? Not crushing you. And like, we talked Vodnik for like 2 weeks before he got hurt. He was a beast. So I'm not saying you got to be, aggressive drafting him, but 361, that's too much in my opinion on a potential closer.
Yeah, but now point taken on the Colorado thing for 2024, and you didn't have to pay much to get those Victor Vodnik saves or Kinley or whatever. So I don't know if that trend continues to 2025, but you were rewarded for dipping into that Coors Field pool of beer.
Yep. Yeah, the pool of beer. Well done, Coors. If the Rockies are blue, folks. All right, that wraps up 30 relievers off the board. Ryan, why don't you talk some breakouts here? Because typical closing fashion, we had breakouts, and folks, you did not put Ryan Walker on the list, so I already have a point of contention with this.
I know. I did for my quote unquote breakouts were anybody who got 10 plus saves drafted outside the top 30. So the obvious one, right, was Kirby Yates, undrafted, 33 saves, took over for Jose Leclerc and never looked back. That's the fab pickup you dream about early season, right? Like that's what you go for. You had Jason Foley for Detroit, 445 ADP, so almost undrafted, 28 saves. You had Hector Neris, 368 ADP. It's kind of funny. I just did Neris's forecaster box. He sucked in the beginning of the season, but got a ton of wins and saves. The
wins were huge.
Yeah, like the wins were quietly like massive. Then got DFA'd. Did not have the job in the second half, but Hector Neris, look at his second half skills. Hector
Neris, Astros, right?
Awesome. I believe so.
I'll pull it up instead of just asking you. I can do it right here. I'm pretty sure he went to the Astros because I had Neris.
He was
in actually a handful of like DCs and 50s, and I loved the wins and we got bounced. I'm like, God, that sucks. But then where did he? Yeah, he went to Houston. So yeah.
And was very good there. So the book may not be totally finished on Hector Neris, but But even when he didn't pitch well, yeah, that combination of wins and saves was nuts for him. You had Chad Green pick up 17 saves as basically a free agent guy, pretty cheap. I had some Chad Green in leagues, and that worked out really well. Trevor McGill was awesome in the wake of Devin Williams. I mean, that was I got him in tout for like $30 in Fab, and it was a clean break. It was 21 saves. It was all in the first half. Once Devin Williams was back, you could cut McGill and move on, and you didn't have any rough patches. You didn't have any like prolonged periods where maybe he's the guy, maybe he's not. You got to pretty much maximize those 21 saves for Trevor McGill. And then to round it out, Lucas Erceg that we talked about with James McArthur failing in Kansas City got 14 saves after being traded over from Oakland. And then last but not least, Aroldis Chapman in the wake of David Bednar picked up 14 saves at an endgame pick/fab pickup. So those were a good number. So that's seven different closers that got 14 plus saves that were pretty much not drafted and picked up out of Fab. That's a lot more than what we saw in 2023 and probably a lot more normal than what we would expect going forward.
Yeah, Chapman still had the high ratios, 3.790 ERA, 1.35 whip, but we got back to the 37% K rate. Like, he still walked a handful to more, better than 2022, I guess, but as a whole, it was he was pretty dominant in the second half. He took over the closing duties. I remember we talked about him on the Fab shows, and it was just like, at first you're like, I don't know, he's been kind of shaky here and there, but you know, so he had the high ERA in September and October, but as a whole, he was pretty good. His July and August were filthy, and June, if you want, were filthy stuff from Aroldis. So we'll be interesting to see what he does as a free agent. Like, there's a handful of these potential, like, out of nowhere, like a role. You got to roll this. You got Kenley. If someone gives Kimbrel a chance, there's a handful of these free agent types that could be quite interesting.
Absolutely, and that's why you pull your hair out drafting right now. But
I don't. Yeah. But
well, you don't. No hair, you are drafting right now. You don't have hair.
Yeah. So. But I just want to highlight something here because you mentioned Neris, but if we want to just talk about it, the Cubs did not have a closer drafted. I'm just going through them real quick to see who else is. The Cubs, we mentioned that, well, the Rockies technically did. The Tigers did not have a closer drafted, which was quite interesting. And I guess with Kopech, the White Sox did. So at least two teams didn't even have closers drafted.
Yeah, at least, I mean, at least in the top 30. But
yeah. But I mean, pretty much. ADP 360, like at a 12-team league, you're done.
You're done. Yep, exactly.
So the fact that two teams didn't even get it, technically, if you're saying Rockies barely qualified, same with the White Sox, top 300 picks, same with the Royals, 335, Erceg wasn't there. Like, so you got some bottom dwellers didn't even really have their closers attacked when all things were said and done. So,
yeah, the last thing I'll add with the pool, I think the sweet spot, kind of the money spot, if you're drafting, is you wait till outside the top 100, you pick a closer or two, and you get full season closer production. That was pretty fruitful this year with Kenley, with Robert Suarez, Estevez, Mason Miller, and Kyle Finnegan. Like, I think that's, you want to say like win leagues or whatever, but no closer is going to do that. But to really get a step up, it is hitting on that like 12th round, 10th round closer that stays there all season. Like, that's such an advantage if you can pull that off. And that's that again, where I'll be focusing my closer efforts this season, probably grabbing that one, and you know, with like where the top 10, 15 land, and then hopefully trying to get one in the 10th round that hits.
That would be ideal. So that'll be interesting to look at how it all breaks down, because there's still a handful of question marks / committees going into 25, and we'll have that covered for you in probably a month and a half or so. By the time we get to closers, it'll be a little while, but coming at you guys before we head out of here, as Ryan will be enjoying some cold beverages in Athens, Georgia, as Georgia tries to get into the college football playoffs, probably a bit pissed off when they saw that come out. So that'll make things fun there. But Tuesday show is going to be a draft and hold kind of primer, I guess we should say. Yeah. So I'm going to throw this out to y'all now. If you've got questions, start getting them in. If you're in the Discord, send them to us in there if you want. If you have ideas, you can DM them to us, whatever. Just start thinking about them, because the more questions, I think, the better for that show. We want to cater it to you guys and how we can help you guys on that. So that's why I'm throwing that one out there now. We'll have something fun for Thursday. Discord will know about that first. And if you want to get in the Discord, patreon.com/BubbaBloom. Go check that out. Anything else, Ryan, before we head out of here?
Now, the draft and hold primer will be a ton of fun. I've got a lot of data on the 2024 picks, what went right, what went wrong, and some kind of trends that I'm digging into. Already had a couple of good ideas from a few folks in the Discord that we're going to cover. So yeah, if you, like you just said, if there's anything else you guys want us to cover in this draft and hold primer, let us know, because it is draft and hold season. It's a fun season. I love draft and holds.
Yeah, it's taking every ounce of my energy not to join multiple right now. I'm sticking to my guns. I love it. It's just the slow draft. I appreciate it for this time of year because of life, but yeah, I just want to keep drafting. Like we're in round 13 right now, and it's cool, but it's like I want to go and get going here. So yeah, we'll see how it all pans out. But we'll get you guys ready there. Some other fun stuff, and I'll just preface this also. The next couple months, Ryan and I were kind of planning ahead. I have a couple vacations. He has a birthday he's got to deal with. We have holidays and family. So there's going to be a lot more recorded shows, but you're still going to get 2 episodes a week. Just throwing that out there right now before people like wonder where the heck things are. You're going to get your 2 shows, but it's going to be a little recorded. Just don't get buggied out on that one. If you have questions on those things, get to us.
Yeah, agreed. We did miss the chat today, but.
Yes. But just throwing it out there. We do have lives, and just the way it's going to be here for the next couple months. So, yeah. All right. Make sure y'all follow Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod. I'm at BD Hendrick. Thank you all for listening. Have a great weekend. And this was Bubba and the Bloom, episode 187. Catch y'all next time.